Welcome to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
And we're back with another episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos. Gerald Glassford, coming right back at you here from Pop Culture Cosmos. Game Source, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that magical 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe. Subscribe today to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest PCC Multiverse, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, the State of Pro Wrestling, or, of course, the show that started it all for us, the Pop Culture Cosmos. But it wouldn't be a Pop Culture Cosmos without a good friend indeed, and it is my bestiest National University fellow student indeed. It is, of course, the man behind HappyHoarderCollectibles.com. Please go ahead and get all your collectibles today at the Happy Hoarder. It is a good man indeed. It is Josh the Great Peterson. And Josh, great to have you here, my friend, talking pop culture. First off, to your beloved wife, a truly happy Mother's Day. And to your mom as well. And to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day.
Hey, and to yours, because
thank you.
We are podcasting on Mother's Day, and I'm sure that it normally would be frowned upon.
Well, I will say, though, that you should be saying happy Mother's Day to me, too, because this is my annual joke that I say that I get called a mother pretty much all year long for various reasons. But, yeah, that's why maybe I feel like I should celebrate it, too.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, you did mentally birth the Pop Culture Cosmos, so
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I see that in the comments sometimes. You mother,
we owe this to you.
Absolutely, indeed. But it's going to be a great episode. Josh and I, the National University alumni. What is our mascot again? I don't even know.
Let me do a quick Google.
The National University Internet
Navi the Eagle, it looks like.
Okay. All right. Eagles. Let's go say the Eagles. National University Eagles. There you go. But we're back for another great episode of the Pop Culture Cosmos. We got lots to discuss today. We've got lots and lots to discuss, including a big, I don't want to say a big win, but a okay, better than last week win for the box office, and a continuation most likely of a series, whether you like it or not, which we'll discuss I think we'll have two facing the franchise today, because we will go ahead and talk about Planet of the Apes and the latest going on with that and the win for it this past weekend at the box office. Plus also as well, want to go ahead and discuss the possibility of, with the success of Helldivers 2 as the most popular game or new game to hit stores virtually on PC and PlayStation, will the prospects of a Starship Troopers become that much more valuable? We'll go ahead and talk about it on the back end of the show. Plus also as well, of course, we're going to discuss, Josh needs to put his 2 cents in on what's going on with Xbox. And of course, we're going to go ahead and talk about our favorite moms or most memorable moms in pop culture as well. But first, my friend, a couple things I want to go ahead and touch on. Doctor Who has matriculated on to the platform of Disney Plus. Disney Plus does not have the back episodes, does not have the right to that. That's between the BBC and Max. But from this point forward, Disney Plus, with its latest Doctor Who iteration, is now available there. So your thoughts, my friend? I think this could be a big win for an audience that may not traditionally have seen or know too much about this long-standing icon of pop culture overseas.
It looks very fresh, and Disney seems to have this we got like a blossoming relationship with the BBC, right? Because they have Bluey is like a big, it's a BBC show, but it's mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of become a big.
And then the two Beatles things with Beatles now, the latest Beatles documentary, which actually isn't the latest documentary. It's just a refurbishing by Peter Jackson of.
It looks good too. Like the picture.
Get Back.
Crisp. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that this is Disney is kind of mining British, British Broadcasting Company, or is that what it comes, BBC content, and they're finding some gems in there for sure. So, Doctor Who, I actually didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't know that they were doing new episodes on Disney Plus, and I saw a trailer for it yesterday. I went to see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and it looks cool. It looks like a good jumping on point and a good place for fresh fans, people who are new to the Doctor Who series, don't know too much about it. Seems like a good place to jump on. It has piqued my interest, so maybe I'll check it out. I don't know for sure if I'll have time, but if I do have time, I will definitely be checking it out. But that is one of those shows that has a lot of longevity, a massive fan base, and is prime for big things and future prospects for sure.
It is, and it's going to be very interesting because it's like one of those, like you said, those long-standing properties that, especially overseas, they definitely know about it, and to a certain extent here in the States, but it's never reached a broad appreciation or understanding. In fact, you and I, for instance, like you said, we've never really gone out of our way to check out all the episodes of Doctor Who. I've only seen a smattering of episodes, as probably would be best said on that at best on it. And it's probably the same thing. Now, on such a platform as Disney Plus, with a fresh new Doctor Who on this platform, this has all the makings, like you said, of bringing the Doctor Who franchise to a greater forum, to a greater popularity. But will it alienate older audiences? That's the question I have for you.
But here's a big question to bounce off your question. I know, and we've talked about this, right, with Star Trek and Star Wars. Mm-hmm. At what point do you stop catering to the fans that loved it way back when and start focusing on the here and now? Because I feel like that's where Star Wars is stuck, because they will not leave that Empire era behind. If they want to appeal to new fans, they have to move forward.
I spoke that a couple weeks ago with Cool Bro on our show. And you know, while he is one of those rare 15-year-old teenagers that actually loves the existing property, I just think, like you said, it's got to keep appealing to younger and broader audiences.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about Doctor Who, though, because he or she, whoever the Doctor ends up being, it's always a fresh series. Like, you don't have to have a history with what came before. Like, there's lore that exists, you can go back and explore it, but you don't really have to have any pre-existing knowledge of what's going on in order to watch the show. Whereas, like, you know, a lot of the other science fiction shows, you have to have 20, sometimes 40, 60 plus years of lore knowledge to know what the heck is going on.
Here it's just like, you know, there's a phone booth and you know it's going somewhere.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But you don't know quite where, and which is part of the fun of Doctor Who. So yes, I'm really happy that Doctor Who, after so many years, you think it's this old, tired property, or could have become this old, tired property that's out there, then all of a sudden it's given new life in this platform on Disney Plus and reaching a new audience of 160 million plus subscribers that for many of them have never laid eyes on a previous Doctor Who. And I'm just so happy for it, because again, this is really something that could turn out to breathe new life into Doctor Who like never before, Josh.
You know what's funny, I absolutely agree with you, because I was interested after watching that trailer, so it did pique even my interest, who, you know, I'm a lore fanatic, so like I can't just step in to a new show without knowing anything about it. Like, I have to go back and watch all the other things. But this seems, I feel okay jumping into this without having seen any other stuff. But, you know, Disney Plus is actually, with their experimenting with that merger, with, you know, merging Hulu and Disney Plus into one platform, they're actually picking up.
And now they're getting friends with Max, if you saw that latest bundle that they're going to start offering customers here pretty soon.
Right. So Disney is now scooping up all these anime rights that were not theirs before, that were in, you know, Fox's wheelhouse. They're now scooping all this up. So now how is that going to affect? I think Crunchyroll is owned by Sony, if I remember correctly. So how is that going to affect, you know, the big anime streaming service going up against Disney Plus with, you know, because they have shows that Crunchyroll doesn't. So it's a the industry, everyone's going to start eating each other here soon.
Absolutely. But in Max, I understand, because they're like number four or five on the streaming totem pole. And in doing so, they're trying to play both sides with obviously the deals that they have now that they're trying to formulate with Hulu and Disney Plus. And then also licensing a lot of their stuff to Netflix as well, Josh, if you noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
interesting, yeah, isn't it?
It is interesting, because all these companies that you wouldn't think would be okay working with each other are now working with each other. So it makes you wonder what the end game is here for you know, say like HBO's owned by, or Max is owned by Warner Brothers, right? So what's the end game here? Is there is Warner Brothers being pushed towards a potential buyout by Disney?
Who knows, my friend? But again, you had called it a long time ago, back in the pandemic. You said that there was such an influx of all these streaming outlets that they were not going to be able to survive at some point. At some point, they're going to start being cannibalistic and eating amongst themselves and eating themselves up as far as that's concerned. And we are starting to see a little bit now as we speak.
Yeah, and that's exactly what is happening. So I'd be willing to bet that a year from now, at least one of these companies that we're talking about today will have purchased the other.
Well, Paramount is currently under sale. They're currently pondering right around $30 billion purchase, maybe by Sony and another party, or there's also other parties interested in purchasing Paramount, which would include Paramount Plus in that. And then, of course, you got Peacock, which is slowly rising from what we were laughing at before to something that may or may not survive long-term. We'll see after the Olympics. I think the Olympics, you're going to see a lot of peacock, peacock, peacock. And then you, after that, what is going to be, you know, the remnants of that and the fallout, pardon the Amazon pun, as far as what will be left of what the subscribership base after the Olympics for Peacock. I think that's very important. But yeah, there's so much to see as far as the streaming landscape. Even smaller niche subscription based streamers like Shudder, like AMC Plus, like there's still so many out there. I think at some point we're going to see more breaking of some of these platforms and obviously consolidating into something larger. We'll see that going forward. I know that there's still fights against that. Like we saw that deal that all these, the ESPN, Disney, I think NBC, just several of these outlets, several of these major outlets wanted to get together on a sports channel. And it's currently being fought in litigation by, I think, a smaller streaming outlet that wasn't included in this process. So if that ever comes to fruition, we'll have to wait and see on that as well. But yeah, it's probably going to get a little bit muddier before it gets any clearer with all this streaming action going on.
I just imagine all of them sitting in a room together meeting with smiles on their faces and shaking each other's hands. Meanwhile, in the other hand behind their back is a metaphorical dagger.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. And Netflix all along is just, you know, grinning like a Cheshire cat. And, you know, Amazon, never doubt them, because obviously you're buying Amazon for other reasons, but Amazon Prime, as if they ever get consistent content like you're seeing with Fallout, that's upcoming with The Boys, you never know. I mean, they're over 200 million subscribers strong themselves, so you never know what's going to happen in the world of streaming. But do want to give some big props out to Doctor Who, and if you are a fan of Doctor Who, or you think you're going to become a fan of Doctor Who, we would love to hear your thoughts on Doctor Who now available. New episodes, a new Doctor Who on Disney Plus. Please let us know your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today
on wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, my friend, it's always great to have you here. It is the Pop Culture Cosmos. It is Josh the Great Peterson along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching this thing. Truly appreciate it. Did you know, Josh, last week, kind of like stealthy release as far as an early access of one of a sequel to one of the most, critically lauded games? I don't want to say of this decade because it came out like, I think it came out 2019, 2020, I think in right that range. I forget. Let me go. I'll check which year that it qualified for the game of the year, but I think it was 2019. That is Hades 2.0 got released as a early access that you can go down and buy now. It's pretty polished, but there's still some work to go on it. But what is there is really good. Tell me your thoughts on Hades. Again, a very much surprise hit that reaped a whole ton of awards, including IGN's Game of the Year, the game of the year that it came out. Your thoughts on Hades 2.0?
So I really enjoyed the first Hades, and this one just kind of came out of nowhere. And so I haven't had a chance to play it, but I've been, I've hearing Brank from Super BS has been playing. He's saying that he loves it. I know it's still early release, right? So the main...
It is 2020. It came out in 2020.
Yeah, but Hades 2 is in early release right now. So yes. I know that they're saying that that's going to be like fully, the full thing, the full experience will be out by the beginning of 2025.
Did they? So, I thought it was before the end of the year they were talking about.
I've been hearing different things, but
I just assume the latter when it comes to video game releases, right. Just assume the latter more than the former.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hearing great things about it. I'm hearing that it's, the animation is beautiful. The storytelling is just as good as it was in the first one. And the gameplay itself is really good. So I'm going to have to get my hands on it at some point, get in there and play that early access version of it. Do you plan on playing it, or are you looking at
it? I want to get it to Hades 1. Now that Hades 1 is now readily available, I'm thinking about it. Roguelike games like that, I've kind of like, okay, I'm kind of interested in it, because I've got Diablo 4. Something similar in that realm as well. I'm trying to get into those type of games. And again, Hades, reason why it garnered so many great awards is because of the fact it had such a compelling story. Mm-hmm. And again, from what I'm seeing so far, it looks like the early returns on Hades 2.0 says it's going to be just pretty much the same thing. Brilliance and great execution in video games.
Yeah, because that was one of those games that really came out of nowhere as a sleeper hit and like a really good thing for, these indie developers who have not been scooped up by these bigger companies. And if they can keep putting out more content like that, maybe the indies will be able to stand a chance against some of these bigger developers. Yeah, and we'll talk more about this.
Oh, yes.
Later, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for that studio. I forgot the studio. I forget what their name is.
Hades 2.0?
Supergiant Games, yeah. Yeah. So I know they created that game on a very limited staff. I want to say they had 20, less than 30 people, 20-something people who worked on that. So, hey, good for them. Good for them. And I wish them all the success in the world. And hopefully we'll be able to see more games come around like Hades that are these really great smaller experiences.
So with that said, we see the success of video games on one side, and then having a very much lauded game doesn't always keep your doors open or keep the lights on, as we found out earlier this week or last week when we're talking about this. I already spoke to TJ, and people already that listened to the PC Multiverse already heard TJ Johnson's thoughts on Xbox closures of three studios and one studio that they folded into another studio to become another part of a larger entity. Your thoughts, Tango Gameworks, Arcane Austin primarily, because those were the two that are most singled out. Arcane Austin, they created last year's failure in Redfall, but to have Prey and other games that they made that are much better. And then also as well, Tango Gameworks, creators of Hi-Fi Rush, which ironically, out of all the statements that they could say, one of the heads of the studios, the head of the studios for Xbox, Matt Booty, I'm paraphrasing here, said something to the fact that they're looking for smaller games that win awards. Huh. Hi-Fi Rush is a smaller game, Josh, that won awards, but they were closed. What about that?
I kind of went down a rabbit hole with this whole thing. Like, I've done some research on this. So,
well, a $70 million purchase for Activision Blizzard might change their minds too.
So there could be any number of factors for this. Like, yeah, it does not look good at all, and all like the Sony fanboys are like, oh, this is, you know, look, I told you
they have every right to go ahead and say what they need to say on this.
But also, Sony's been doing the same thing, just on a quieter scale. Anyways, so I'm looking at this, I'm going through these articles, and it seems like Microsoft was pressuring Xbox to make some cuts. This was not handled correctly. This is the worst like media negativity I've ever seen come out of this, but they did not handle this correctly at all. Like, Microsoft could have made cuts, because it's not Xbox's bottom line that's suffering, it's Microsoft. So they could have made cuts anywhere else, but they chose Xbox. And it sounds like Xbox was like, well, where do we make cuts? And they chose these companies that weren't currently developing anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's just very disappointing, man.
It is, yeah. And like, Redfall had a big patch that was supposed to come out, that was supposed to fix a majority of the issues they're still facing. So Arcane Austin gets shut down. Arcane Austin has done some amazing things. Like, look at Prey was a really kind of a big hit. And I think they had a little bit to do with the Dishonored series.
Yeah, that's what they were going to be pitching for their next game, was a return to Dishonored. I know that they weren't the primary makers of Dishonored, but because other Arcane studios were, but yeah, they were going to go ahead and get into another Dishonored, and Tango Gameworks, which is based in Japan, was going to pitch another Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah, so Tango Gameworks did Hi-Fi Rush, Evil Within 1 and 2, and Tokyo Ghostwire. They were getting ready to pitch another Tokyo Ghostwire. Like you said, Arcane Austin was getting ready to pitch something else. Tango Gameworks was getting ready to pitch a Hi-Fi Rush 2. Mm-hmm. And I guess they wanted a massive budget for it. So Xbox told them no, because they were like, oh, we're going to have to make cuts. I don't think we can do this. So I think that Xbox went after the studios that weren't currently developing something, or they were asking for money to develop something. And it's just, for these companies, I think it was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And there's another company, I think, that did a mobile game, but that got absorbed into ZeniMax Online.
No, so they're the mobile game the mobile game studio Alpha Dog got closed. Yeah. And there was one studio, like I said, got folded into a larger studio.
Yeah, that's right. So anyways, yeah, it doesn't spell good things at all. And I know that they're not done. So like, I'm wondering, like, look at Ninja Theory, right? So Ninja Theory is about to put out Hellblade 2. And after that, since it takes them so long to put things out, are they next? You know, there's a lot of companies that can be in that boat. So, I mean, I don't even think we're seeing the beginning of this. And this is what I've said this since the beginning, looking at these massive buyouts or absorptions or whatever they are, whatever you want to call them. It's this business model is not sustainable. So now they're buying these companies and they're going to end up shutting them down. Sony's doing the same exact thing. They're shutting these companies down. And what's that going to leave left of the video game industry? You're going to have Microsoft's going to own all these IPs that would have been better left to the people who they got rid of.
I agree. And it's just becoming a very much of a concerned, and this is, again, when it comes down to it, if the Xbox brand is going on its way out, they only have themselves to blame, because again, we've talked about it, you have the most powerful of the three systems, Josh, you have the best value as far as an IP is concerned, as far as the operating system, excuse me, you have the best overall value in Game Pass. That's nobody in video games comes close to Game Pass at providing value for your dollar. in an economy that we live in currently. Nobody comes close to it. Not Sony, not PC, not Nintendo. No one. Yet still, they managed to muck up the messaging and fumbled with it for so many years now that they have only themselves to blame. There is no reason. Okay, if you and I came from outer space and we came and we landed on the planet Earth and we just said, okay, we want to go ahead and look at the game industry and see. We see where PlayStation's at. They're most expensive, but they've got some quality first-party games. Nintendo, they've got a 9-year-old system out there, but they have some really good quality family-oriented games. So, of course, those are going to sell. But then you show me that you have the most powerful system at a better price than Sony that you can get it for. In some cases, where like I got it over Christmas, I got it $150 less than what a PlayStation 5 runs for.
Right.
And then you've got on top of that at a $15 or $16 value, $17 value on a monthly basis, you get yourself 110 games or 100 games thrown out there for you for free that you can play from. I would tell you every time that Xbox is going to sell better than the rest. And that unfortunately has not been even close to being the case, Josh.
No, because Xbox has a ton of studios now and they are not doing anything with them. And that is going to be a thorn in their side for however long, you know, it takes them to put things out. And it's everyone's like, well, let's wait and see what happens with the Summer of Games showcase. But it's still, how many times have we gotten up there and like, look, we got 62 world premiere videos, and then we see maybe like three of those games the next 3 years?
Yeah, tell me about it. And we will be seeing that here in about, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
When they have E3, not E3, could be E3, should be E3, is not E3, but will be E3, but actually not be E3 for that week, because you're going to get all those different companies, different studios,
yep,
all displaying their stuff here for during that period of time, because they just can't get away from E3, even though they don't want E3. But that's another point altogether.
What do we know about that?
What do we know? Exactly. But it is, of course, the awesome hit Hades getting a sequel that's available right now on Early Access. If you're interested in already playing the next game in the Hades series, this really breakout independent hit of 2020, game of the year from a lot of different venues and outlets, is now generating a sequel that's now available on Early Access. So we want to hear your thoughts.
Check it out.
Exactly. Check it out on Hades 2.0 if you're going to play it, or if you're going to wait until it actually becomes a full entity and a full release. Please let us know your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. And please also as well, if you can let us know your frustrations on Xbox, please let us know that as well, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com.
What is Planet Cool Stuff? It's your ultimate destination for insightful exploration from the realm of pop culture. Delve into the world of movies, video games, toys, cartoons, and visit with one-of-a-kind creators, discover incredible places, and see historical artifacts. Whether it's a toy room tour or exploring the best of pop culture cinema, Planet Cool Stuff has got you covered. Planet Cool Stuff, exclusively on Jinx Esports TV Canada.
Well, we're back for the last half hour right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. It's Gerald Glassford and Josh Peterson. Want to ask you this before we get into Facing the Franchise Times 2 today. First up, my friend, touching back on the Xbox thing, should Phil Spencer be fired at this point in time? Because I think, as TJ Johnson, he was kind of not saying it, but he was saying it without saying it, because it's like, all that good love and goodwill, he was paraphrasing him now, that the gamers community, the gaming community had for him is now, that's all eroded and gone away.
I don't see, that's a hard question, because I mean I like Phil Spencer. Yeah, this whole situation should have been handled differently, but I think his hands were tied in this. So I mean, do they fire Phil Spencer and then get somebody in there that's more obsessed with like budget cuts and saving money and then have Xbox be worse off, or do they get, you know, let Phil, or does Phil Spencer stay and then try to fix what has happened? So I don't know. It's a double-edged sword, man. I don't think personally that he should be fired, but I think that there should definitely be some examination going on. I don't think Phil Spencer is the president of Xbox, though, right? I think he's just the head of the studios, isn't he?
He is the president of Xbox.
Okay.
But not Microsoft, and that's the problem.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. So that, I'm sorry, that's what I was trying to get to. But yeah, I think his hands were tied in this because Microsoft, you know, the gaming part piece of Microsoft is, you know, they probably look at it as being a boon to the company, I guess. So that's why that's going to be the first place they make cuts. And that is an unfortunate position for Phil to be placed in.
So it is there with Xbox. It's very interesting to see how that's going to be all matriculated about as far as the future of that system. So please let us know your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. But before we head on out, I did want to go ahead and our new segment that we talk about called Facing the Franchise. I first want to ask you about your thoughts on the obvious franchise that we need to talk about first and foremost, and that is the Planet of the Apes. And the latest iteration of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes collected about $56.5 million. It looks like it's about going to do just slightly above expectations, which was right around 50 to 55. So it did a little bit above that, plus about 120 some odd worldwide. It's a okay, good output, not a great output. It is not the highest in the Planet of the Apes saga by any stretch of the imagination, but it shows that there still is a market for it. So I want to hear your thoughts on this, my friend, as we go forward. And of course, I know a lot of people have thought with the last trilogy of movies that the Planet of the Apes series was done, but of course, 20th Century Fox has found a way to expound upon that further, leading to most likely what will be more Planet of the Apes movies. Again, it doesn't try to make any sense of the whole timeline and things like that. Like, for instance, they and Fast and Furious both skewed their timelines a long ways ago. It just, you know, whatever it is, it is at this point. But your thoughts on the Planet of the Apes franchise, and if it's something that you feel will continue on for quite some time.
So I was actually thinking about this the other day. I kept thinking, like, how many of the old Planet of the Apes movies are there? And I know there's something like 12 to 15, somewhere around there, like somewhere there in the double digits for sure. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that this original reboot was set to be, they pitched it as 11 movies. And originally they're like, I don't know if we'll get there, but yeah, we have a story lineup for 11 films. We're on film 4 right now. So we're about, you know, we're about halfway through that vision right now.
Well, but they still talk about Caesar, but this takes place a long time after the Caesar timeline, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so that was something that was weird in the movie. So the movie opens up, and you know, I won't give too many spoilers, but I will speak the beginning here.
But I just want to let you know, you saw the movie this weekend.
Yes, I did see the movie this weekend, and the film opens up with, you know, showing the funeral pyre of Caesar. You know, they had the orangutan and you know, all Caesar's buddies were there. They put his body on the fire, and they kind of ended with a funeral that kind of like faded off into the next scene. And then it said many generations later. So that's very non-specific. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, it's going to center around Caesar's son, but it did not center around Caesar's son. It centers around a new ape named Noah. And that is, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a smart place to leave off because Caesar had his time. Caesar's family had their time and some to pick up with a new hero or protagonist of sorts. So anyways, we're in like a weird time now, right? Where like the apes have become what the humans were, where they're like warring against, they're warring against each other. They're causing trouble. There's greed and they're trying to get weapons to take out other ape clans and things like that. Humans are referred to as echoes because they're, you know, an echo of the past. And there's humans who are slowly rediscovering how to talk.
And that's where simian flu caused them to lose their capability to speak. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah, and it kind of like dumbed them down a little bit. So then, mm-hmm. you know, you have Freya Allen's character gets in there, and she's, you know, following Noah around after some things happen to him, and he goes to his tribe is captured by Proximus Caesar, who kind of took the name of Caesar on and create his own little like weird culty religion. He's trying to get into this bunker that is where all the U.S. government like retreated underground. So naturally, in this thing, there's it was like guns and tanks.
Okay. All right.
If you think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
She knows how to get into the bunker, and she's trying to make sure that these apes don't get the technology that's in the bunker. So Freya Allen's character is interesting in the fact that you don't know whether she's a good guy or a bad guy. You can never tell whether she's a good guy or a bad guy. Everything she does is selfishly motivated, and that kind of leaves you on the edge of your seat, because as she's forging this bond with Noah, this relationship, you're not sure whether or not she's going to turn on him and his, you know, his tribe. So they did a really good job with that. You know, they did a great job of stepping outside of this, you know, we're going to have this big battle in the end where the apes battle the humans, you know, in this one, it's apes versus apes. And, which is, you know, they were heading there all that time. Anyways. Good movie. You know, I think they did a good job. The storytelling was good. I don't know where it's going from this point forward. Because they end it at a point where it shows like there are humans still out there, and there's still ape tribes out there that are bigger than what we've seen in the movie. So you don't really know like where is this headed? If they get a chance to finish these, you know, next seven films, where is this franchise going to go?
Exactly. So we will see, but it's going to go somewhere, because 20th Century Fox still wants to make some money. And I still think there can be some money found in this series. So you will see, as long as the expectations aren't too high, Josh, I think you're going to see a few more iterations. We're on a movie in number 11 in this series. Again, yeah. It doesn't always tell the, you know, it doesn't always connect the dots with the entire timeline, but still, I think it's something where you got to say there's still a lot of life left in these ape movies.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and we've talked about this before, like it's a good popcorn flick. Like we went in there, the theater is packed, and there's parents taking their kids to see these movies like on family movie night, because they're relatively clean movies. Like you watch it, there's no nudity, there's like one swear word in it, so. It is a movie that is appropriate to take your family to, and you know, they stick to that formula, and they're gonna keep making money, because these are movies that people seem to enjoy going back to time after time. So you know, as long as they're able to keep telling a compelling story, like I don't think it matters at this point where it's heading, as long as it just is able to maintain the momentum that it currently has. Because I don't know, what was the box office number for this right now? Where are we at in the weekend?
About $56 million it's going to make. And then again, about $125 million plus worldwide. So
yeah,
not bad.
Yeah. Right. And this is going into summer, right? We're 2 weeks away from the summer. So, I mean, this will definitely cross. I can safely say that this is going to cross $500 million easy.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I'm going to say less. I'm saying it's going to do about 400 personally. So, but it's going to make enough to warrant another movie in the chain.
Yeah, because it would cost $157 million to make this movie. So I think that they will make their marketing costs back. Like it'll earn them some money for sure. And I think that will warrant at least one more film in the series.
Oh, I'm sure they'll do another trilogy. I have a feeling they will. This one it sets itself up, because you had the trilogy before. They loosely tied into it with this movie, and I think it just sets up as the beginning of another trilogy, because, you know, we just always got to have our movie sets and threes, Josh. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy these movies. I don't know how you feel about them, but like I've always enjoyed a movie where I can sit back, don't have to think about much. I can eat some popcorn, and these movies do that for me.
Okay. As long as they do that for you, then all right, rock on from there. But yes, when it comes to the Planet of the Apes movies, I just think that at some point in time, you are going to go ahead and run out of ideas, or at least run out of ideas for titles, man. Because how many more derivatives off of Planet of the Apes can you realistically have? War for the Planet of the Apes, done that already. Kingdom of the you already done the Kingdom. It's like, okay, yeah. Supermarket of the Planet of the Apes. I don't know. I did that one the last week.
Right. They were really clever with their marketing for this one, though. Did you see all the pictures of the Planet of the Apes people in costumes riding their horses around San Francisco?
I get anything to sell a movie, right? But it's going to be something interesting to see how they still keep evolving this series. I think if they set their expectations to right around where they have it, then I think 20th Century Fox will continue as long as they budget for that, as far as it's concerned, for that type of film. Let's say a $50 million opening, $125 million worldwide, between $400 and $500 million at the box office before it hits streaming or DVD or Blu-ray like that. If that's what you budgeted for, then I think, again, like you said, we could see another 3 or 6 movies come down in the Planet of the Apes saga.
Easy. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts out there on the Planet of the Apes movies in whole as a franchise? And then, of course, the big winner at the box office, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which got $56.5 million roughly domestically here in the U.S. and about $127 million worldwide at the box office. So please let us know your thoughts on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Have you seen it like Josh, and give it a thumbs up like Josh? Please let us know your thoughts. popculturecosmos@yahoo.com.
If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
Well, my friend, I said we would do a special Facing the Franchise duo for today's show before we head on out. And the reason why I'm saying that is because you know the most popular game for this year, if you had to put a finger on it, is going to be Helldivers 2 on PlayStation and PC. So I want to hear your thoughts on this, my friend. Helldivers 2 is a homage, or a great tribute to Starship Troopers. And that's been going on for quite some time. They're unabashed tribute to Starship Troopers. I mean, when you play the game, you see, if you are familiar with either the book, the Paul Verhoeven movie that came out in the 1990s, which I just happened to watch again for the umpteenth time on Netflix. It's available right now. It's always a fun quirk. I think of it much better than any of the movies that are out there, as far as, and you know, I should rephrase that. I think of it better than what critics, for the most part, have said about that movie. I very fondly remember that movie. So when it comes to it, Starship Troopers, again, as for me, it's been a very fond rewatch. And with Helldivers 2, such an homage to Starship Troopers. It's so funny because people are now getting into Starship Troopers because of Helldivers 2. There was a Starship Troopers game that came out late last year and is still making DLC, and it's still not getting anywhere near the kind of publicity or the player base that Helldivers 2 is, because Helldivers 2 is just that much better of an experience. But your thoughts on this, Josh? Again, I proposed a while back that one of the things I'd love to see come back to television, you know, because we always talk about reboots and how we don't want to see reboots, want to see original ideas, but the reality is we're going to see more reboots and plenty of them. The thing I could see as a reboot would be a Starship Troopers series or movie, because the fact that that world, I think, can still be expounded on. I think people have forgotten about the terrible video, straight-to-video releases that came after the hit 1990s movie. I just saw it again for the millionth time on Netflix last night, just to refresh my brain on how quirky, how fun, how poignant, how just subtle it is in its writing in regards to the way it's structured. Obviously, the political nature of it, you know, people have had an issue with it over the course of the years. Your thoughts, my friend, on Helldivers 2. It is the most successful game that's been out there this year. It is an homage to Starship Troopers. Could you see Starship Troopers getting a big boost from this in a way, or at least, let's say, more interest in a Starship Troopers project because of what we see with Helldivers?
I first want to make a comment on Helldivers. Sony really almost screwed themselves over.
They did, didn't they? Which I didn't mention.
Oh, that was intense. I remember reading about that, and I'm sitting on the edge of my chair. I'm like, oh, man, this is not going to go well. And lo and behold, it did not, because they isolated almost the entire continent of Asia. And I think a little bit of Europe, too, which is kind of, you know, a lot of player base coming out of there. So they dodged a bullet, like, retracting that thing, so good for them. Starship Troopers is so, yes, I think that there's a lot of material. Like,
by the way, that was because of the PSN requirement. They about a couple weeks ago they tried to force a PSN PlayStation Network requirement on over 150 countries around the world for Helldivers 2 on, if you're playing it on PC, and the PC universe just said that ain't happening.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. And that was, Steam. I mean, and Steam was very gracious. You know, they were refunding people who had spent, you know, 150 plus hours playing that game. You know, they're really ready to bite the bullet for that one. So good for them. Steam has a great customer service as always. So going back to Star Troopers, I would love to see Star Troopers become a streaming series. And I think Netflix would be the right place for it. Because you look at there's a lot to put into that two and a half hour movie. And, you know, at the time it was great because it was shocking. You know, it had so much shock value. And I think that they could tell a better story on a longer format on Netflix.
I mean, for what it is, Josh, I've said it is a really good, underratedly good movie. I don't know why it got the critical bashing it did, but you know, when you watch repeated viewings of it, like I did, you see the subtlety in the writing about how something that gets set up and talked about at one part gets executed on another part of the movie. And it just, the way it ties its shoelaces on everything, it's really well done. It is underratedly a really good movie.
Yeah, it was ahead of its time, and that's for sure. Now, unfortunately, it suffered from, remember that era? I think it was early 2000s when you had all these straight to DVD releases because people didn't want to risk the economic loss that could come with a sequel that might not do so well. So they just kept pumping sequels out on DVD, and they just kind of got buried in the sands of media. And that was something that Starship Troopers suffered from, because I remember they released, I want to say, at least three sequels that came out for that movie.
Three and four, I think. Yeah, they didn't title them. They only titled number two as the number two one, but the three and four were titled something else. But yes, they were straight to video forgettable movies. Let's just put it that way, with significantly lower budgets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that really wrecked what could have been like a really cool franchise had they, put the time and effort into that it required. So, yeah, I absolutely think that if they were to move a streaming series or move forward with a streaming series on Netflix, yeah, it would be absolutely amazing. I think that people would love it. I mean, it would definitely revive the series. And, you know, looking at all the political stuff going on in the world today, like, there's plenty more writing material there, because what the first one was based on is World War II satire. So there's definitely a lot more material to work with here.
Well, again, I think that Helldivers 2 is going to be something that I think spices this conversation up even further. I would not do a Helldivers 2 show. I would just, since it's such an homage, a blatant homage, and they've admitted, the studio has admitted to saying it's a blatant homage to Starship Troopers, conveniently coming out right around the time a Starship Troopers game came out. And, you know, that's been totally swept under the rug by the success of Helldivers 2. I think you should loop in Helldivers 2 if you reboot this show or reboot this IP onto a television and movie platform. I think if you, you know, you visually do that, if you get the Helldivers 2 as a segment of the Starship Troopers that are out there, you have the normal Starship Troopers, but you also have a Helldivers 2. You could absolutely not only get the success from that feeding off each other, but you could eventually spin off the Helldivers 2 or the Helldivers into their own series themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep, you know, Big Dog keeps asking me to play that with him. I haven't even had a chance to sit down and check this out, but I've heard great things about it, and I've heard that it's kind of reminiscent to a little mixture of like Halo and Call of Duty. So it's definitely, there is a fan base for those types of games still. And I think that Helldivers, if it is as successful as everyone's saying it is, and it's definitely worthy of exploring a little bit the lore of the world a little bit more.
Absolutely. So I would throw that out there. I just think that Starship Troopers is a, you know, we really do not want to beat the drum for a lot more reboots on a lot of occasions, because you and I do love more original content being put to the forefront. But if you're going to do something that I think is worthy and has the interest or could gain the interest of it, especially like you said, now, if you haven't caught Starship Troopers yet on Netflix, it's right there for you. It's available. I watched it last night on Netflix again. It is something that you might want to get. It is quirky. It is, like a 90210 meets, I shouldn't say Star Wars, but your whatever sci-fi battle against aliens type movie that you want. But still, it does have that scenario where everything ties itself into each other very well and completely, but totally under the radar sometimes. I think that this movie really works. And I think that if you reboot it or extenuate it, just knock out whatever happened, forget, totally wipe under the rug what happened in 2, 3, and 4, Josh.
Continue, my god,
bring some of the original characters back, put in, you know, mix in new characters, a new batch of Starship Troopers plus the Helldivers. But Casper Van Dien has actually been on the record. I saw him on a video yesterday praising Helldivers 2, so they've talked about that. It just seems like it's a match made in heaven. If you bring all that back, I think a lot of those actors are still around today that were in Starship Troopers. It just seems like there's something there that if you and I went to a boardroom to pitch to a Netflix or a Sony, because Sony actually owns the property, I think we could get it done.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. And Netflix is really, they're really mining for science fiction properties right now. So, I mean, look at some of the stuff they've done in the past few years, and then, you know, Three Body Problem, and there's been others like whose names I can't remember, but yeah, there, I mean, there's definitely a desire.
Totally forgetting the Zack Snyder verse right there.
The Rebel Moon. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I know there's a desire for content like that, and there's people who will definitely watch it whether it's good or not. So I think that you can only something positive can come from putting this series on a stream, or sorry, putting it on a streaming platform in a series format.
I think it would be a big success personally. I know either Amazon or Netflix, if it's on that platform, we've seen already where with Fallout, it's become a huge success. We've already talked about what Mass Effect would do. We think could do something similar. I think if a reboot, you're going to have to touch upon, I think a property that you could work on that is getting some steam today because of the success of Helldivers 2 is Starship Troopers. So I think that would work. Again, just sit you and I down in the boardroom at Netflix or Sony right there, and in 10 minutes I can sell this idea on you out there that a Starship Troopers, I don't want to say a reboot, maybe a extension of the Starship Troopers original movie with Helldivers incorporated into it might just work.
Yeah, I believe in it, and I will stand behind whoever wants to make a campaign to make this happen.
Absolutely. If you need Josh and I to write up a synopsis, a screenplay, or an idea, a pitch idea, a pitch letter.
There we go.
Or if you just think that, you know, Helldivers and Starship Troopers should come together in a live action format because of the success of Helldivers 2, we would love to hear your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com.
Yes.
Well, my friend, it's been a great episode. But before we head on out, in honor of Mom's Day, Mama's Day, Mother's Day, or I get called Mother a lot, but need I digress on that? So I want to ask you this. When it comes to Mother's Day, we obviously, as always, and I think we did this last year as well, but thinking a little bit more on it now, I want to know your most memorable mom or moms in pop culture, my friend. So just, you know, I want to hear your thoughts. A memorable mom or moms to you that just will help accentuate Mother's Day for everyone out there before we head on out.
I have three. Is that okay?
Oops. It's your, as much as your show is in mine. Absolutely.
I just don't want to take up too much time. All right. My first one. Edward and Alphonse Elric from Full Metal Alchemist, their mom, right? I know that she died and it's grotesque as they're trying to bring her back to life, but that show would not exist. It would not be as good without that storyline that involved her. Number two, Ellen Ripley. And I know we never got to see her like biological daughter on screen, but man, when she was like looking out for Newt and aliens, like that was some top rate mothering right there. Number three, last one is Ron Weasley's mom. I forget what Julia something or other. She's played by Julie something or other. I don't remember what the last name is, but she is every kid who watched Harry Potter looked at her and is like, yeah, she feels very motherly. She makes that, you know, you really look at her character like you look at your mom. So those are my three right there. What do you got though?
I've got one. I'm going to go ahead and throw out there just because I think it's kind of fits with the Mother's Day theme, sort of, kind of. Okay. Mommy Dearest.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
Mommy Dearest. What is that from?
It's a movie. It's a horror. It's a old, I guess, what you could say, an old movie per se. Mommy Dearest is from the 1980s, starring Faye Dunaway.
It's I don't think I've seen it.
Okay, there you go. It's let's just say it's something that in honor of Mother's Day would probably fit right in, and I'll just leave it at that. So.
All right, well, now I gotta go track this this masterpiece down and watch it.
Absolutely. But before we go, my friend, any updates for you for the Happy Hoarder out there at happyhoardercollectibles.com?
Yes, we have some new Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood Pops coming in stock this week. I've got some Wayne Gretzky Funko Pops that you can purchase now on our website at www.happyhoardercollectibles.com. Our next convention will be the Bell County Comic Con in August, followed by the Colossal Con a couple weeks later. And yeah, everything will be business as usual for Happy Hoarder. Website won't be having any issues within the next couple of weeks. I am working diligently to get everything restored to normal.
Does this mean you are the 2020 version of a con man?
Oh, yes. Yes, except, you know, I'd like to be making some of the money that con men make, but legitimately, you know, like
without the legal trouble, of course.
Yeah, like an honest con man.
Okay.
I'm just
that an oxymoron?
I'm conning people with kindness.
Okay, fair enough. But go make sure you go ahead and check out all the great stuff that we're doing at the Pop Culture Cosmos and popculturecosmos.wordpress.com. Also, of course, go ahead and check out the Lakers Fast Break, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, Josh's stuff at the Happy Hoarder, and most importantly, a big shout out to all the moms around the world from all of us right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. So for Josh Peterson, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day in paradise right here in the Pop Culture Cosmos. We thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great day.